Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Natalie Dale. Welcome to Ahead of the Curve. We're the podcast from the Georgia Department of Transportation, where we spotlight the people, programs, and projects that keep our roads safe, keep you moving forward, and keep our state, you know, ahead of the curve. We like to get that in there. Today, we are diving in to one of GDOT's most powerful tools for drivers, 511. We're going to get the 411 on 511. So whether you're navigating rush hour, avoiding instruction, or trying to get to your destination faster and safer, Georgia's 511 service is your go-to source for real-time traffic updates. But how does it all work behind the scenes? What is the technology? Who are the people that are answering the phones? What is the power behind 511? And how does it all connect with our key roadway services like HERO and CHAMP? How do they find you? Who dispatches them? We're going to find out all of that today. So to answer your questions, we have invited Alan Davis, State Traffic Engineer, who oversees traffic management strategies across our state, and Christina Berry, Assistant State Traffic Engineer, who focuses on integrating cutting-edge technology into our traffic operations. So by the end of it, you're going to know everything you need to know about 511. So keep that finger on the dial, ready to dial 511, and we'll be right back.
Real-time travel conditions, construction impacts, lane closures, roadside assistance, these are just a few of the many free features 511 Georgia offers. 511 Georgia is a free navigation and traffic service that can be accessed via mobile app, website, and phone system that provides road conditions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, including severe weather information to ensure all Georgians arrive safely to their destination. So the next time you hit the road, know before you go. Sign up today for My 511 by registering at 511ga.org or download the app in the Apple or Google Play App Store.
All right, welcome back. We are so glad you stayed with us, even after I said it was going to be Alan and we were going to hear from him, because we know Alan is a talker. So welcome back. We've got Alan Davis and Christina Berry here, but as we like to do on Ahead of the Curve, we like to get to know people outside of GDOT, because we know enough about them inside the building. So Alan, you go first. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I am not a Georgia native. I'm originally from South Carolina. Graduate of the University of South Carolina, so we're here to talk about how the Gamecocks will win the playoffs this year, right?
It's been a second for y'all.
A second? We have a proud history of mediocrity.
Look, you're talking to the Auburn alum who, at this point, you know, we record these in advance. So I'll say we're number one right now. So, okay, so you're from South Carolina, but we allowed you here.
I moved here about 12 years ago with my wife, who I live here now with in Atlanta, with our two amazing kids. I've been with GDOT for about 12 years. Prior to that, I was with South Carolina DOT and a consultant back over there. But happy to be here. And I must say that the things that GDOT does, especially in traffic management, and I'm not just tooting my own horn here, is really next level, cutting edge. We do a lot of great stuff here.
We don't like to talk bad about anyone. But since they're not in the room, tell us the difference between Georgia DOT and South Carolina DOT.
Boy, that's going to get me in trouble with some of my friends back home. I will say that, especially from the traffic side of things where I work and have spent most of my career, you know, coming to Georgia 12 years ago, the things we thought about doing in South Carolina, Georgia had already started doing. To me, that was one of the bigger differences. And South Carolina, I don't mean to put South Carolina down, of course, but there, that was one of the big differences that was there. I don't know.
There's a lot of info sharing among states, and South Carolina's infrastructure system is very different than Georgia's. They deal with different things, and we talk about that. Different states, as I tell my kids, different families, different rules, different states, different issues. But as part of the sort of southeast region of states, there is a lot of information sharing that goes on, and staff stealing, apparently, because we have Alan now. Thank you, South Carolina. Christina, how are you?
I'm good.
Great. Well, welcome to the podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm actually not a Georgia native either, but I moved to Georgia when I was 19, when I transferred to Georgia Tech to major in civil engineering. So I graduated with a bachelor's and master's degree from Georgia Tech. And then a couple weeks later, I walked across the street and started with GDOT. So I've been with GDOT for about 12 and a half years now.
And I'm not sure if this is a well-known secret, but you're a bit of a GDOT legacy. Yes.
I guess you could call it that. Yeah, my dad worked for the Federal Highway Administration, and so that's why we moved around a lot, and his last position was as the division administrator for the Georgia division.
Right. Would you say that piqued your interest in getting involved in GDOT?
Definitely. So I interned while I was at Georgia Tech. My dad told me about an internship program that FHWA runs called StipDig. And so I applied to that program, and I interned with FHWA in the Alabama division. And while I was working down there, we would work a lot with ALDOT, and I kind of, you know, looked at what they did, and I was like, hey, you know what, that's kind of cool. I think I might want to work for GDOT. And so the next summer, I interned with Eastern Federal Lands in the design office. But those internship experiences is really what piqued my interest for coming to GDOT.
Transportation legacy. You have a broad knowledge of transportation before you even stepped in the building. So we're so glad to have you. And just for the record, I'm not from Georgia either. So you have a table here of people that are not from Georgia who have decided to give to Georgia. So that's how it works here at GDOT. You do not have to be from Georgia to want to make Georgia a better place. So let's dive into 511, which is a big component of GDOT traffic operations, but a lot of, it's not just 511, it goes so deep. So Alan, give me your elevator pitch for 511. No one's heard of 511. Everyone who's plugged into this podcast has zero idea about what 511 is. This is Shark Tank. Sell me 511.
Well, 511 is a national program, and it's something that's pushed out as a requirement for states to do. To have a traveler information program. So at its core, it's traveler information.
So if I'm in any state and I dial 511, I'm connected to that state's 511 system.
Correct. But I will say Georgia was doing 511 before it was cool. And that's what I mean by that is dating back to the Olympics, traveler information was something that we really were on the forefront of and finding new ways to do it around the Olympics. And we really grew it into the program that we call Navigator today. And that's the big program we have that 511 sits under, and it's really all about traveler information, making sure in traffic management, making sure folks can get to where they're going as safely and efficiently as possible.
And that's a call, that is a app?
Yeah, so originally as a phone service, you would call 411 for movie information. Was that 411 or 8?
Did we call 411? No, what did we call 411 for? We called
Which one was the movie phone? I thought it was 411. Anyways.
someone is yelling at their speaker right now telling us the answer and we can't hear you.
You call 511 to get traveler information. As the internet evolved and digital tools evolved, we have a 511 website. We have a 511 app that we publish that provides all of the same traveler information. Alerts on road closures, emergency situations, crashes, traveler information. It provides camera feeds. You can see what messages we have up on the signs over the road. Just a whole bunch of information that's available there.
As part of 511, we talk about the support services. So whether you're in Metro Atlanta, there's Hero. Whether you're in a different part of the state, there's CHAMP. How are those connected? So explain to, I know the answers here. So Alan's looking at me like I'm crazy, but I do know this, but our listeners do not. So tell us how those programs sort of work together.
Well, we started Hero back around the Olympics to respond to incidents on our interstates to help clear them quickly. The sooner we can clear incidents and crashes off of our roadway, the safer it is for other vehicles. So you reduce secondary crashes, so crashes that happen because of another crash. You reduce congestion because of the delay that lane blockages create. And so that's really what Hero was focused on. And it was a program based in Metro Atlanta that grew in Metro Atlanta. And then around 2015, with the passing of House Bill 170, which was a funding overhaul for the transportation motor fuel tax, we created a program called CHAMP. It originally had a maintenance focus to it, but it was really meant to take a lot of the incident management pieces that Hero was doing in Metro Atlanta and apply it to a statewide level. So you go from a small operation of Hero operators back in 1996 to the Metro Atlanta footprint up around 2015, and then to a statewide level with CHAMP at that point. And that's where we operate today.
So if I call 511, that's how that's how Hero or Champ is dispatched to me, is through the system, knowing where I am. Well, not through the operators. There are real people who answer phones.
There are real people that answer
phones. And they are in Georgia.
And they are in Georgia.
And that is amazing. But when I'm using the app or when I'm plugged into the system, how does the technology work? Because I am technology adverse. My iPhone doesn't charge properly. In fact, might I use this as an opportunity to a major shout out to the IT group here at GDOT, who is constantly having to fix and repair my inabilities in the technology realm. So thank you. But the technology in 511, how is the data collected? How do we know where the backups are? How do we know what the time from point A to point B is? Walk me through how the sausage gets made.
So we've got a lot of tools in our toolbox. I have asked for a few spy satellites. We work with the industry to bring in a lot of tools that help us enhance our traffic management strategies. So if you're on the side of the road and you've blown a tire and need assistance, first off, stay in your vehicle.
Oh yes. We talk about this a lot. My two things I'm very passionate about are roundabouts. I don't know if y'all listen to the podcast. Just act like you do, because everyone else here does. I like to bring up roundabouts every episode because I think that they are the most underappreciated traffic calming device in the entire world. And they've been around since the dawn of time. And so I love them very much. I'm a huge advocate for roundabouts. I have a poster and a t-shirt and a coffee mug. But also staying in your car.
Did you know that Christina is one of our roundabout experts?
This is why she's on the show. So that we will eventually get to roundabouts here in a second.
I actually wrote my master's thesis on roundabouts, so I'm thrilled to hear that.
Can I read it?
I mean, I'm not sure you want to.
I do.
Sure.
This is not, everyone's like, she's not even joking. I am so passionate about, I will have to talk to y'all offline about my roundabout campaign that I'm creating through Google image search right now. But I'm very passionate about roundabouts. Oh, God, this show's about to go off the rails. Okay, back on track. Stay in your car. Go.
First off, stay in your car. If you need motorist assistance, call 511. When you call 511, you will talk to a real person here in Georgia that is sitting right now in our TMC, our Transportation Management Center, and they will get some information from you. Where are you? What are your needs? Is there a medical emergency? If so, they'll connect you to 911, those kinds of things. If you're having a hard time locating where you are, we have a lot of camera coverages across all of our roadways where we can kind of help pinpoint where you are so that we can get dispatched to you, whether it's a Hero or a Champ, a little bit faster. But we also use a service called Carbine that also helps you locate where you are if you are willing to participate. Do you want to talk about Carbine a little bit, Christina?
Yeah, sure. So when you call 511, you know, especially if you're in a more rural area, there might not be a good landmark or you might not know exactly where you are.
I'm by the tree.
Yeah,
third
by the tree.
I'm by the third tree.
Oh, there's some guardrail here.
Yes.
so you might not know exactly where you are. We don't have full camera coverage in all areas, so you might be in a rural area. We might not be able to see you. So when you call 511, the operator will ask you if it's okay to send a text message to your phone. And if you agree to that, they'll send the text message, which will prompt you to turn on your location services. And once you turn on those location services, within just, you know, a few seconds, it'll transmit your latitude and longitude back to the traffic management center, and so that they can locate you. And it's really increased or decreased the amount of time that it takes to locate somebody when they're on the roadway, which really helps them to get out, you know, out of the road faster. I mean, we want you on the side of the road for as short a time as possible. So it's really helped us to keep people safe and get people.
And in addition to sort of the services offered when you're on the road and stuck, one of the services that I think is incredible is where you can sort of plan your route into the 511 system, entering your, through the app, entering like the corridors you travel, the thing. So it gives you alerts. Who wants to talk through sort of know before you go? No commute is ever the same in Atlanta. Same roads, different day, different time, same time, often different, just depending on what's going on. And so a lot of people use things like Waze or Google Maps, but we have the capability from the department to offer those services to you in a really sort of excellent way that has that customer service arm behind it. So who wants to talk about, you get in the car in the morning, what the things the app can offer.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certainly this plan your route. You can set up zones you want to drive where you get immediate alerts about traffic incidents and things like that. Work zones, plan your route. It's like any other kind of GPS application you use on your phone or anything like that, where we have the freshest, most recent information, especially from the department, about what's going on the roadways. And we have eyes over all over the place, keeping an eye on these things and trying to get things cleared as possible. And we also keep up with construction that's going on so that you know when there's lane closures and things like that that would create delays. So you can use a lot of those tools in the app to plan that out. What I think is cool, though, is you mentioned Waze and all the other things that people use, is we do a lot of information sharing with those partners as well. We get information from them, they get information from us, so there's this exchange of information that's there so that we all have the best information possible to serve to the public.
One of the questions that we get asked, we're going to do some myth busting here, is you know, you're tracking, how are you tracking the cars? Are you tracking me? Are you using a spy satellite? And where is that information going? Can you walk us through the technology behind sort of how the car-to-car, y'all do a better job explaining this. Someone jump in and help me here. How do you explain to those who may be skeptical of the technology system for tracking cars as they move so that we know how traffic is moving. We know if there's a backup, but we are not keeping that information. We do not know. It is not specific to you. We do not know.
So here's one myth we get all the time. No, we are not tracking anybody.
No, we don't have time for that.
We're not reading license plates or anything like that, or your toll reader if you have a Peach Pass. None of that. We have cameras that are watching things from a high level and keeping an eye on the roadway. But one of the greatest questions we get all the time is, do we record that video?
Oh, I was about to ask you that.
We don't.
You read my mind.
No video is recorded.
Explain why we do not record video.
So
high level.
We have a lot of cameras across the state.
How many cameras?
Over 4,000, I think, across the whole state.
Many cameras.
Interstates, and we also have all these sensors that track data and things like that. So if we stored all of that video for any amount of time, our server bills would be ridiculous. And we would be serving up open records requests.
Constantly.
Lawyers, whomever, insurance companies, always calling us for that. And the amount of people we would have to staff to just respond to those would be a huge cost. So we don't record any video for that purpose.
Well, and also, we are not alone in that. That is not a common practice of recording the video because of storage costs, because of the cost for pulling for open records. States, or I know that there's a city or maybe very few states that have done it, have had to basically staff an entire department to pull this video. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. I mean, some municipalities, some cities do it, but they're on a much smaller scale.
Yeah, and it's just not the primary use of the cameras for us anyways, because we're doing active traffic management, so we're needing to see what's out there in real time. We don't really need recordings of, you know, things that happened in the past for what we're doing.
Correct. That is the primary function of the cameras. That is what the taxpayers are paying for the cameras to be there for, and that is their benefit. And we have many, whether it's just an average day and we're watching traffic or whether it's an emergency weather situation, and we need to know where we have icing situations or hurricane stuff. So a great tool for the department, but we use the tool for what the tool is initially meant for. But on the topic of technology, Christina, what is sort of the evolving future of technology within your department?
We're constantly looking for new technology to make what we do better. Right now, we are getting a new ATMS, which is Advanced Traffic Management System, I think.
It's so advanced, it might need new letters by the end of it.
And so we're kicking off a project, get a new one of those. We're getting underway with the contractor here today, actually. And so we're really excited about that. And hopefully within a year, we'll have a new system, because the system that we have is fairly old and antiquated. And so that should make it a lot easier for us to do what we do.
That's the brains of the TMC, Transportation Management Center. Like, all the information, all the data flows into that.
And in addition to the technology, we talk about things like signal timing. and how you used to have to go out to a cabinet to change that. But even through the technology that we've had, that has advanced so much. So we have control over corridors. And one of my favorite stories you were there for, which was during the Super Bowl, when we were able to use the technology to get teams where they needed to be faster. So technology like that continues to be beneficial, not every day, not just every day, but for these big events that we have as a state. Is there more things on board with that in terms of, you know, we've got AI is becoming a big thing. Smart connected vehicles, we're always asked about that. In the construction realm of GDOT, there is only so many ways, and we are innovative in, you know, procurement methods, and but there's only so many ways that you can be completely innovative with concrete materials and building structures quickly, because it is such, you know, you're building things, these projects take a long time. But in the realm of technology, it is evolving quickly. It can be, you know, it can be adapted quickly in theory. So y'all sort of sit in this seat where things are moving probably at hyperspeed compared to some of the other areas of the department with changes and growth. And how do y'all keep an eye on the future? Because Georgia is such a sort of visionary, I like to believe, in many of these areas. We're the first or the second in many cases of adopting new technologies, new thing. Jump in here. Go, Alan, go.
I mean, just a correction on the Super Bowl. We moved the teams and Tom Brady, because Tom Brady had his own ride.
And one of the Kardashians, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wait, hold on. Tom Brady had his own ride?
Yeah, that was special.
Tom Brady, Atlanta's least favorite quarterback. Carry on.
But hey, we still got him through.
Well,
we have connectivity to traffic signals across the state. Over 8,000 of them are all connected, where we can, you know, monitor and actively manage them. Christina mentioned active traffic management. That's a big piece of what we do, is trying as best we can be in front of traffic to make sure it's as efficient and safe as possible. You mentioned connected vehicles. We have one of the largest, if not the largest, deployment of connected vehicle technology in the country. And we continue to build on. It's largely in Metro Atlanta right now, but it's also going to be on our interstates. And that's infrastructure, a traffic light, a sign on the road, being able to talk directly to vehicles, and vehicles being able to talk directly to the infrastructure as well. And that's doing things like making transit buses more reliable. That's making ambulances and fire trucks safer as they and more quick as they go through intersections. And someday it's going to be something that enhances your safety systems in your car, so that the car, you know, 10 cars in front of you that slams on brakes way before you even know it's happened, the systems in your car know it happened and can react.
What happened to me today? It said braking ahead.
Think about that even better and even more direct and for everybody. That's something we're investing a lot in. AI is, of course, a huge buzzword, but it's even entering a lot of the things we're doing. We're exploring ways in which things like large language models can enhance even our operators at 511 when they get incidents they need to respond to. What's the best way for them to respond to it for the most efficient and safe clearance? What emergency operations do they need to call? What are different strategies they can implement through that? So a lot of that technology is coming in. We stay in touch with it by coordinating a lot with our peers, relying a lot on private industry to come to us with solutions for this. There's a lot of innovation in that space, so that our private sector partnerships are tremendous there.
Christina, tell me about, as far as safety goes, how valuable technology is for safety on our roadways, how it's sort of becoming, we're thinking outside the box, we're being innovative, but the technology is really becoming a driving factor in new safety enhancements.
I think it's tremendous. It can have a tremendous impact. And you mentioned roundabouts earlier. So roundabouts have a tremendous impact on safety, and they really reduce crashes. But from the beginning to the end of a roundabout project, it can be years, because you've got to have a concept, you've got to design it, you've got to build it. And that can be a fairly long time, you know, depending. But the technology is something that we can deploy very quickly, and you can get a lot of benefit out of. So, you know, if we're being able to see where there's backups and things like that, and we can start messaging things. You know, we can keep people safe and prevent some of those secondary crashes, which a lot of times are more severe than the primary crash. And so, you know, the more that we can do that, the more that we can keep people aware of what's going on, divert people when there's issues. It just really helps to prevent some of those crashes and safety issues.
Technology is sort of a double-edged sword in the transportation realm, because when used improperly, like driving and while you're looking at your phone, you're creating a dangerous atmosphere on the road. But also, we must give sort of kudos to technology for giving us these new and innovative ways to quickly adapt, to quickly enhance our roads with new safety methods, new safety protocols. But one thing that technology cannot do or does not do at this point is answer the phones at 511. So going back to, we have real people that answer the phones at 511. That is not AI, that is not a robot, that is not someone in a different state or a different country. Talk about the role of the operator in the 511 center.
Sure. So the operator is there. You can call and you can talk to somebody. And their goal is to get you help, to get you moving, to get, you know, to dispatch the hero or, you know, connect you with 911 or whatever that you need. But they also, a lot of times, will get people. I mean, it's very upsetting to be stuck on the side of the connector, you know, so they'll get people calling in that are very upset about something or, you know, very, you know, agitated. And they're very good at helping you calm down, you know, helping get somebody to assist you. And then they also audit those calls, you know, to listen to something that might have been a particular situation or somebody that did a particularly good job, so that we can learn from that and provide better customer service moving forward.
What is the typical call volume, the typical call that an operator would receive?
I mean, I think the typical call is for motorist assist. Sometimes, you know, if there's an incident on the road, they'll get a lot of calls about that. But I think typically somebody, you know, for some reason is disabled on the side of the road and needs assistance. I think that's probably the typical that they would receive.
Do you find that we get a lot of calls from out-of-state motorists? Or is it just generally your typical commuter that has a flat tire, fender bender, car's broken down?
You know, I really don't know if I could say, because I really don't know. Do you know?
I don't know if we have that data.
I mean, the thing that I think is really surprising is that a lot of times, like when the heroes give out the little comment cards and they, you know, will ask them, like, had you heard of Hero before this? Like 50% of them say no. And I'm, you know, it kind of blows my mind that something that's been around since 1994, you know, there's still a lot of people that don't know about it. And the first that they know about it is somebody just happened to see them and pulled up behind them to help.
And very visible and free. We want to remind, it's free. We are working diligently to continue to grow that program. I know we've had, as most first responding groups have had, difficulties in recruitment and retention through COVID and longer. We continue to grow. We continue to want new heroes, new champ, new operators at 511. We're kind of all open at GDOT. If you want to come work at GDOT, we can find a place for you.
Absolutely. I'll say, too, about operators, one thing that they also do, besides being that public facing voice for us when you call 5-1, is they're also managing our internal traffic management. Just as we were sitting here, we all got an alert on our phones that said there was a crash, a high-level crash that they're responding to from a traffic management standpoint. So they're facilitating a lot of that information flow for the department as well as for the public. So they have a lot on their plates.
Well, while they've got all this on their plates, do you know any good stories? We love stories here. Do you know any good stories? I have heard, anecdotally, I have heard stories of children being born, 511 operators talking to people who are on their way to give birth or maybe giving birth, lost people. Do any stories strike y'all? Do y'all have any memorable stories?
They told me one time, you know, sometimes they'll get called out to help with like livestock or, you know, animal incidents if, you know, some animals get loose on the road. And I did have an operator tell me one time about the time that a tiger got loose.
I think we just talked about that in a past episode. This tiger lives on. I mean, we have so many animals generally, but the tiger lives on in infamy. And I'm sure also operators have crazy stories from Snowmageddon, and especially when there's inclement weather. They're on 24/7. Someone's always going to answer the phone. So there's a lot going on in your department, in y'all's with y'all's team, both with 511, technology. I think we've learned today that it's much more than just a hotline. It's much more than just dialing 511 to get an operator, to get help, that there's active tools to plan your trip, to know before you go for construction. There's technology through y'all's team that keeps us safe on the road. So we are thankful that y'all are here today to talk about it. We know it's very educational. As the shark in the Shark Tank, I would buy it. So I don't know how much equity I give. That is so beyond me, but I'll buy. So thank you. And to our listeners, if you're not using 511 yet, now is the time. Download that app. Again, every time I talk to the media, I say, you know, they're like, what is your biggest advice? It's not just wayfinding apps. It's not just Waze. It's not just Google Maps. GDOT has an excellent service for you that goes well beyond just getting you from point A to point B. We offer through 511 the technology that can connect you to where you need to be safely, as well as the support services on the roadway if you need it. So thanks for all y'all do for the department. It was lovely getting to speak with y'all. And if you, listener, have any ideas for a next episode, please let us know. Just shoot us an email. Reach out at aotc@dot.ga.gov. We would love to hear from you. We are here to educate. We are here to myth bust. We are here to talk about the people and the programs and the projects that keep us ahead of the curve. If you want to learn more than you've already learned today, which is a lot, visit 511ga.org or download the app today at your app store. Again, I'm Natalie Dale, and we do hope you join us again next time on Ahead of the Curve.